relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Can't get enough of my dulcet tones. Want exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else, including my take on the real story behind the fake news? Join my cabinet, Gorka's Cabinet, today. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com. Click on the Gorka's Cabinet banner and join the most exclusive club out there for content you can't find anywhere else and the knowledge you need. Gorka's Cabinet at sebgorka.com.
I know Sebastian well. Listen to him. He's with us.
Yes, indeed. And we have quite an hour for you today. I think we're going to just go and channel the greats. Whether it's John Batchelor, the master of the long form, my mentor, my role model, or whether it's the great one, Mark Levin, who can dedicate a whole hour to one topic on the Constitution because he is such an authority. We're going to do that with Charlie Kirk. Why? Well, you know what? I've never seen Charlie Kirk tired. This is a man who's like, you know, rubber bouncy ball, but today he looks a little tad, just a tad tired. Why? Because he's doing the book thing, and the book thing is crazy. I've been there three times around, and I'm jealous. As I said from CPAC, he stole the title for the next book I would like to write. It's called The MAGA Doctrine. The Only Ideas That Will Win the Future, by the founder. Are you president? Are you Grand Mufti? What are you, of CEO?
CEO of Turning Point.
CEO,
yeah.
CEO of Turning Point USA. He is Charlie Kirk. Follow him right now. Charlie Kirk 11. Forget about the first 10. They're irrelevant. Charlie Kirk 11 on Twitter. And, of course, TP USA. Turning Point USA, I say it every week, almost every day on this show, especially when we have representatives from them. There are only a handful of organizations outside the U.S. military that matter in this country for the preservation of our republic. It's really, you know, four and a couple of others. Let me list them for you. Number one, the Mothership, the Heritage Foundation. God bless the people at the Heritage Foundation, the individual who's helming it right now, K. Cole James, is superlative. The man who started it all is still an inspiration to all of us 40 years ago. Then we have the NRA, fighting for your Second Amendment rights, one of the oldest civil rights organizations that was, in fact, preeminent in helping freed slaves and black Americans defend themselves. That's how important the Second Amendment is. Then, draining the swamp. You had the interview yesterday with Chris Farrell. They finally get to depose Hillary Clinton. It's Judicial Watch. But the one that perhaps has the longest-term impact on this nation is one I am proud to be associated with as a member of their honorary board, full disclosure, speaking for them regularly. These are the people who take the fight, the culture war, against political correctness into the battlefield of greatest import, and that is the high schools and the colleges of our nation that we've almost lost. And that's Turning Point USA. If you have disposable income, you need to support this organization. And we have the man who started it all. We're going to talk about the book. But first, let's talk about who is Charlie Kirk? How did Turning Point USA come about? And why?
Well, thank you, Dr. Gorka, for having me. It's always an honor to be here. And it has been a crazy week. It's been a long month this week.
we'll get you an espresso.
No, it's great. No, it's extraordinary. So, I started this organization 8 years ago, about 8 years ago.
And how old were you then?
I was 18. So, and now I'm 26, and I think I'm getting too old for this stuff. So,
not yet, my friend.
No, not yet. But I love every minute of it. So, I started it. I didn't get into the school I wanted to get into, which was West Point. And my rejection led to just someone asking me a question like, hey, you know, why are you going to college? What do you want to get out of it? And I didn't really have a good answer to that. I said, I don't know. I'm going to take a year off to figure it. That was my answer. I said, I might take a year off to kind of figure out what I'm passionate about.
Were you thinking of a military career or you just wanted to go to West Point?
Yeah, I love my country.
Did you have military in the
family? Yeah, my grandfather served in World War II. My parents didn't, but I loved the regiment I visited. It was loved my country. I wanted to serve it in some capacity. I got nominated by my local congressman, didn't get accepted. Ended up being the best thing that never happened to me, actually.
So you take a year off.
I take a gap year.
What do you do in that gap year?
I started Turning Point, and I had no money, no connections, and no idea what I was doing.
Why? How does an 18-year-old know that we need a Turning Point?
It wasn't as, let's just say, built out back then as it is now, but I did know that we needed a generational and a cultural turning point. I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago. I went to Wheeling High School. And for those of you listening to AM 560, the answer.
The answer.
Salem. I grew up listening to AM 560, driving to and from my house to high school. So that's where I got my education.
So talk radio is important, right?
Levin, Rush, Sean Hannity, they were my philosophers. I had some good teachers, mostly Marxists, but I had some good teachers. But the giants of talk radio were very instructive to me.
Maybe he'll fill it out in a second, but I need to just be very clear about this man's talent, not just in what he's created in the last 8 years. But we were at the biggest meeting you have every year is in Florida.
Yeah, Student Action Summit.
Student Action Summit, SAS. Good initials there. And halfway through this madhouse with 5,000 kids, I don't know, dozens of guest speakers, you know, from Rudy Giuliani to Glenn Beck to myself, your staff say, hey, we want to get you on Charlie's new podcast, the Charlie Kirk Show. I say, great, I'd love to. And we sit down for about 40, 50 minutes, not a scrap of paper in front of this guy, and we get deep and philosophical straight away. And this guy knows his stuff. So may have started with talk radio, but it's much deeper than that. So I was very impressed.
That's very kind of you.
People need to subscribe to this podcast. He crushes it every week up there with Dan Bongino, Charlie Kirk, The Charlie Kirk Show. Check it out. Subscribe to it right now. So talk radio, take a gap here. You must have had a sense that there is a political identity or a culture war going on?
Yeah, and I experienced it in the suburbs of Chicago. To give you an idea, when I was a freshman in high school, everybody supported Barack Obama. I mean, it was the suburbs of Chicago, and I was a conservative. I didn't really know it yet.
Were your parents conservatives?
Yeah, they were Christian. You know, center right. They weren't activists though. They weren't involved in politics. And being a freshman in high school, I was sympathetic towards, you know, what Obama, I guess, wanted to do. Very little literacy in civics and the Constitution. But it's what everybody did. You know, it's what everybody supported. And as I grew through high school, I obviously got a greater understanding of first principles and why our country is indeed the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. And I started to see the impact that education was having on my peers and how correct, with the right ideas presented correctly, how persuasive those ideas could be. And so started this organization with no money, no connections, no idea what I was doing, failed a bunch, succeeded a little bit, and now we're on 2,000 high school and college campuses, 160 people on staff. As you mentioned, we had 5,000 students. It was a madhouse down there in Palm Beach. The president spoke at 3 of our events in the last year. We've been very, very blessed. That's the right word for it. It is an overwhelming amount of support that is nothing more than a gift from God.
Well, it is incredibly impressive. We'll talk about the role of faith in everything you do. We're talking to Charlie Kirk, the founder and president and CEO of Turning Point USA, at TPUSA on Twitter, CharlieKirk11 on Twitter. In the couple of minutes we have in this segment, and Charlie's with us for the whole hour, tell us, why did you sit down and say, okay, this isn't your first book, is it?
It's my third, but it's the first one of this magnitude.
Your first serious book is The MAGA Doctrine, just came out at CPAC, right?
Yeah, it came out two days ago, actually, officially. Right. I don't know what is it, Wednesday today? I'm not kidding.
Super Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so the day after Super Tuesday, my head's been spinning in book promo, as you can imagine. So,
well, let's get to it. Why did you decide to write a substantive book with this title, The MAGA Doctrine?
So the biggest reason was that the criticism I received by watching cable television and reading the newspapers by the intelligentsia of the left was that President Trump had no philosophical base, that the Trump presidency was
random, accidental,
precisely, right, or lackluster, or just kind of bull in a china shop. And I said, you hate him. You hate him. And we don't like you either. So why am I listening to you?
So I said, cool. This is like common sense, but it has to be said.
No, but it's true. I said, why are we listening to these people?
The experts, quote unquote.
Intelligentsia, right?
Who've indebted us, who helped ISIS rise.
Precisely.
Right, and outsourced our jobs to China, the experts.
Stupid immigration policies.
Invaded the Middle East.
Right.
Right.
And so I said, you hate him, and you're trying to tell me what he believes. You've never met him.
So important.
You don't know what he, you don't know why he does what he does.
Right.
And so I said, well, who has actually done that? And there's been amazing people like you, Dr. Gorka, I talk about every single day. But I felt that this book was actually missing in the space.
It is.
And I wrote it to actually describe the doctrine of the Trump presidency. And I didn't want to do it too early into the presidency because I wanted it
Smart.
To play out.
Right.
Because I came to that revelation early in the presidency. But I think where we're at now, and we'll talk about it more in the hour, why this book is selling as well as it is.
It's The MAGA Doctrine. It's number 3 on Amazon. It was number 1. Let's get it back up there. Come on, guys. Go right now. Order it. The MAGA Doctrine. Great photograph on the front of the president hugging our flag at CPAC a year ago. This year, he hugged it, and then he kissed it. If you haven't seen the president's speech, Eric, repost it right now on my Twitter feed on Facebook, because you need to see it, especially when he takes on No Boxes Mini Bike. Back with the one and only Charlie Kirk here on America First.
America First. Magnificent.
We're good guys here, aren't we? And we believe in eternal truths, and we believe in charity, especially in this Lenten season when we celebrate the most important part of our faith, our Lord saving us. How do we give back? You've donated in the past, you've supported all kinds of efforts here, but what is it like to find out what difference you make? Well, right now in the Easter season, I'm supporting Food for the Poor to help the starving children in Guatemala. And listen to Hannah Jensen of the Colorado Springs Q102.7, who actually went to visit one of the villages impacted by your support.
This is my first experience actually seeing true poverty. What impacted me the most was the kids, because they all were just so joyful to see us, you know, and I felt we were hope to them. And even if they do get sad at times, because I don't doubt that at all. I mean, they're hungry. That makes me sad for them, to be honest with you. They're kids who just want to be kids.
Let's help kids be kids. We're blessed. The last 3.5 years, the economy, national security, the wall. Time to give back to those who are less fortunate than us. How do you do that? Go to my website, sebgorka.com, SEBGORKA.com, and make a tax-deductible donation at the Feed the Starving Families banner. It's so simple. Let me give you just one figure. It's $80. $80 from you, thanks to Food for the Poor, will feed a hungry child and provide that child with clean drinking water for a whole year. Make a donation in any amount. It's very easy. Any amount, because we'll just gather them together. But $80 is a year worth of life. Make a difference. Be a modern missionary. Go to sebgorka.com right now or call them on 855-330-HOPE. That's 855-330-4673. Our Savior said that. He said, bring them unto me, the little children. We help them first, and you can make a difference. I thank you, and they will thank you. Go to sebgorka.com and click the Feed the Starving Families banner. We are back with the founder, the president, the CEO of one of the most important organizations in America today. It's called Turning Point USA. Check it out. Support it at tpusa.com. But we are here to celebrate his best-selling book, You need a copy of it right now. I have one in my hand, beautiful red and gold cover with the 45th President of the United States, the MAGA Doctrine, the only ideas that will win the future. Why he wrote it? Well, because the people who hate Donald Trump were trying to explain to us what the MAGA Doctrine is.
That's right.
Let's listen to people who actually know and who care. So, Charlie Kirk, who did you talk to find out what the MAGA Doctrine is?
Well, most importantly, I went to dozens of rallies across the country, and I talked to the people that were in line for hours and hours and
hours. So what does it mean to them?
Yeah, well, negative 10-degree weather in Iowa, or a tsunami for the president's reelection launch in Orlando of June of last year.
We were there broadcasting.
It was unbelievable.
It was incredible. The people outside outnumbered the people in the stadium.
That's right.
It's crazy.
And so I actually went and talked to the American people that support him and that believe in him and that put a lot on the line for him. I said, why? And I wasn't challenging them. I was just curious.
Yes.
Because I had my reasons, of course,
right.
And turned out my reasons were very harmonic with their reasons. And basically their response was, I felt like we were losing our country in a managed decline for decades.
Managed by the quote unquote elites.
Right. In both parties.
Very important. GOP and
That's right. And
Democrats.
And there was a variety of answers, such as politicians have lied to us for so long. The ruling class family dynasties enriched themselves at our expense.
Yes.
I see factories closing and jobs going to China and our communities filling with opioids. We had no outlet or answer until he came down the escalator. And you hear that a couple thousand times, you start to realize that's a consensus.
Right? That's a reason for 63 yeah. million people.
Correct, precisely. And so then I said to myself, well, what does that actually embody, and has this ever actually been done before? And so I summarized it in the book as revitalizing a nation that was predicted to fall sometime soon. So has revitalization been done before in American history? And I make the argument, the closest you could make the argument is Lincoln, and where you were really on the precipice of what the nation would look like.
And you rebuild it.
Reagan did it in a different fashion. Reagan's predecessor and the predecessors before him were corrupt and weak. Richard Nixon, of course, with Gerald Ford, who was somewhat of an ineffective president, and Jimmy Carter who was
weak.
Historically weak.
Right.
Economic malaise, prisoners overseas, hostages overseas.
Gasoline lines.
Precisely. Get used to the new normal, 18% interest rates.
Right.
Reagan revitalized the American economy and did so well. I think Trump has outpaced Ronald Reagan's accomplishments in the first 3 to 4 years, which says a lot. But if you look at the Reagan era, after Reagan, a lot of those successes were undone by the following president.
Yes.
And I'm not here to Bush bash. I think that the Bush family is honorable and they deserve, you know, our credit for their service to our country. But we would not be honest with ourselves as conservatives and as people in our movement if we didn't realize that the promises and the successes of the Reagan Revolution were really, they weren't followed upon. I mean, H.W. Bush expanded both legal and illegal immigration during his 4 years in office.
Government budgets.
Raised taxes, despite saying the read my lips.
Yep.
See, when President Trump says read my lips metaphorically, the embassy gets moved, Iran deals get canceled, Golan Heights get recognized, Gorsuch
Wall
and Kavanaugh. Precisely.
Right.
And so a promise maker, promise keeper is something the ruling class wasn't good at. I wrote this book also because I'm afraid if we don't write down what the doctrine is to hold people accountable to it, it's just going to be kind of a whisper in the wind and it will be gone forever. The distillation and the calcification of it, to actually calcify it and to say this is why we believe what we believe. This is who we are as Trump supporters. And guess what? I get asked this question all the time, Dr. Gorka. Well, who's going to go after Trump? Is it going to be this guy? I say it's irrelevant.
It doesn't matter.
It's the ideas.
Yes.
It's the philosophy.
Totally. It's not the man.
Or the woman or whomever.
Right.
Well, no, but seriously, I mean, there's plenty of good people out there that want to potentially run or might not run. It's completely irrelevant. If we go back to ruling class republicanism of technocratic corporate governance, we will lose our way as a country. And President Trump has opened the door for a renaissance politically, the likes of which we honestly could never have expected as conservatives.
I'm just scribbling here the whole time. I mean, I grew up in the land where English was actually born, and I'm just this is a man who's used distillation and calcification in the same sentence and talked about the ruling class republicanism. This is fabulous stuff. This is why we like Charlie Kirk. And he's here for another half an hour, in which time you can order his book. It's called The MAGA Doctrine. Do it right now. If you like this kind of stuff, and I love it. Usually we do the news and my monologues and calls, but I love the long form. If you love it as much as I do and you want exclusive access to stuff we don't air publicly, join my cabinet right now. Go to sebgorka.com, SEBGORKA, sebgorka.com, and click on the Gorka's Cabinet banner. Exclusive membership, $59.95 for the whole year. What a bargain! You get this show, all 3 hours, without the commercial breaks, and then extra long-form interviews, audio and video, that only you will receive, plus my take on the real story behind the fake news. I am Sebastian Gorka. Join my cabinet right now. Back with Charlie Kirk after these messages. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and the Battle for 1600.
It would be a catastrophe if this race ends with Donald Trump in the White House. He breaks promises, I keep them. He divides people, I unite them. He's a climate denier. I'm an engineer. I actually believe in science. Imagine that. He tweets, I follow facts and respect data and tells the truth. He looks out for people who inherited their wealth. And I believe we need less talk, less division, less tweeting. I get to the White House, no more tweeting from the Oval Office ever again.
Hey, Mike, you're never going to be tweeting from the Oval Office. Unless you're invited there, maybe you should have tweeted a little bit more. A man who knows how to tweet, he has a rather incredible game. Oh, my gosh. I'm on my phone far too much, and I can't keep up with him. He's Charlie Kirk. He is the founder, the president, the CEO of Turning Point USA, and the author of the new book, The MAGA Doctrine, The Only Ideas That Will Win the Future. Get it now. It's still number three at Amazon. Let's get it back up to number one. We can do it. 2 million of you are listening, 1 million following on social media. This should be easy. Piece of cake, piece of pie. I need to ask you a following question. You have been given a hard time because you weren't on the Trump train from the beginning, which can be said of many people. When did you get to realize that, okay, this is different, this man could actually tackle, what did you call it? I'm going to use it in reverse. The calcified swamp. When did you say, whoa? When did Charlie Kirk wake up?
So I was originally a Governor Walker supporter early on. Now, mind you, this was a couple years into my political career, so my exposure to politics was limited. I was originally inspired by Governor Walker's recall election back in 2012. In fact, I founded Turning Point the same day he won his recall election. I was from Northern Illinois. I had teachers that went up and protested him. His candidacy did not last very long. And then I supported Ted Cruz. And
yep.
he warmly embraced me. And again, we were very much in the infancy stages. And his candidacy flamed out. And I said, now it's time to beat Hillary Clinton. And I came full on board for President Trump, spoke at his convention, despite lots of people saying I was making the biggest political mistake of my life. I went a step further. I traveled the country with Donald Trump Jr. for almost 2 to 3 months. I basically ran the Students for Trump operation within, the campaign and my own personal time outside of Turning Point USA. It's no mystery I supported Ted Cruz. There's plenty of documentation and plenty of pictures of that.
Yeah.
I started to realize, like many conservatives, how special this president was. And I think we should be applauding people that have, you know, once supported, you know, something else, and all of a sudden, wow, came to the, you know, the Trump movement. I think it's a positive.
Isn't that what the Democrats called evolving?
Well, I wouldn't even call it evolving.
But it's what they say when they go from, you know, gay marriage is bad to gay marriage is good. I evolved. Don't they say that?
Yeah, but look, you're 22 at the time, and you pick Ted Cruz, and you're like, okay, so did Mike Pence. Like, Mike Pence endorsed Ted Cruz ahead of the Indiana primary.
Touché. let's talk about something more important. You've used the word revitalization. I talk about a rededication.
I love that.
You're a man of God. How important is the fact that this isn't just about GDPs? It's not just about the Dow exploding again. It's not just about the jobs coming back from China. This is as much a spiritual rebirth as it is anything else.
No doubt. Yeah, and we work on this at the Falkirk Center at Liberty University, yes. And I know that Dr. Gorka, you and I have talked about this, and we'd love to get you even more involved in that, which is we really are in a spiritual war in our country. And a criticism a lot of people throw at the president from the Christian right, as small as that community might be, they're very loud and they're given an unnecessarily big platform by the left. They're given way too much credence. And I don't want to say any names, but there are people in the evangelical world that have gone out of their way to attack the president.
Yes. You mean like the Christianity Today op-ed?
Precisely, right. Precisely.
The holier-than-thou crowd.
Yeah, and so I ask the question, I say, if you're correct, which you're not theologically, let's just talk theology, because I know you have a lot of listeners of faith to this show.
Yes.
Would you take Samson out of the Hall of Faith in Hebrews? So let's work backwards.
Yeah.
Paul's letter to the Hebrews.
St. Paul.
So, persecutor. Right. And St. Paul himself, exactly. But Samson in particular, I love this example. So Paul lists Samson in the Hall of Faith, which basically lists some of the most amazing people throughout the Bible right. That live by faith. Go back to the story of Samson. Samson was, let's just say, he lived a full life. He lived a colorful life. God came to him twice while he was in a prostitute's bed. I can't teach that in a Sunday school.
No.
And
can't.
I talked about this with my good friend Jack Hibbs, who I think is listening right now. He sent me a text.
Hey, Jack.
Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Amazing guy, amazing patriot, and also my friend Rob McCoy. Samson was called by God to do what the people of the law were unwilling to do.
And let's be very clear as we run out of time in this segment with Charlie Kirk. Who isn't fallen? Which one of us isn't fallen? Really? Then you have no idea the history of mankind or the future of our salvation. It is a spiritual reawakening. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that I've been taking for 14 months that has rid me of my lower back pain. You should be the next success story. Go to ReliefFactor.com and order the 3-week quick starter pack right now for just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Tens of thousands of Americans are being liberated from their daily pain. You could be the next person. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. As the president says at all his rallies, what have you got to lose? I'm Sebastian Gorka, back with the one and only Charlie Kirk here on America First.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
We are back with Charlie Kirk. We're having a little theological discussion, discussing each other's theological roots. But now we're going to go back to talking about the MAGA doctrine. But first things first, mea culpa. We talked about universities. Let's add a couple to that list. Liberty U, massively important. Let's make that number 5. And then, thanks to our buddy Ryan Livermore, who just texted me on Patriot Mobile, .com text line 703-869-1262. Hillsdale College. Totally. What? Of course, Shad. He's pumping his fists. Larry on Hillsdale College. If you're not subscribing to the free Imprimis publication, you should. They are also pushing back on the insanity. So the book is The MAGA Doctrine. It's Charlie Kirk's third book. Subtitle, The Only Ideas That Will Win the Future. from people who believe in the president what MAGA means. Not from the haters, not from the irrelevant MAGA Trumpers, not from the quote-unquote experts who got us into the Iraq war, got us into outsourcing jobs. No, the people who got him elected. What a fabulous idea. Yes, I'm jelly that I didn't think of it first, but that's okay because Charlie Kirk's a buddy. Let's get practical. Let's talk about now. Yesterday, Super Thursday, or Tuesday, you said something really interesting in the prior break that this is good news. Explain to us Charlie Kirk's take on the Biden vice the communist Sanders.
Well, I'm in the minority of this opinion, and that's fine. And I could be wrong, but I would much rather run up against Biden than Bernie.
Because
and so I'm a little bit partial because my target audience is college students,
right?
And I see the enthusiasm that they have for Bernie Sanders.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. We'll continue that conversation. Can you explain that to me? Because I may be an old, 49-year-old.
You're very wise.
I cannot, for the life of me, to this day, comprehend how young Americans get excited at an old guy who can't comb his hair with food in his teeth. Can you just explain it?
So, it's I can build it out as best I can. First of all, he embodies a college professor.
Okay, so they're used to it.
Not just how he talks, but how he looks, how bold, I guess you could say, he is. The young people look at things through a prism of big institutional corruption. It needs to be disrupted, and the little man. And they think Bernie Sanders
is the disruptor,
is the champion of the little guy. That's an oversimplification, but that's how it is.
Okay.
You can kind of see it through that lens.
Okay.
It's less about the Marxism and more about the
social justice.
Precisely.
Okay.
And so think of it less as, but there still is the element of Marxism. So when I look at Bernie, I say, okay, the people who hate Donald Trump are going to vote no matter what. They're going to vote if it's Bernie, or they'll vote if it's a loaf of bread, or Biden or whatever.
Okay.
That's built in. Bernie Sanders has shown that he's unafraid to promise whatever it takes to get elected president of the United States. That's dangerous. We know empirically there is a crossover between Midwestern voters that came and voted for Donald Trump and voted for Bernie Sanders in the primary in 2016. We know this.
Say that again. That was too fast for me. Say that again.
Okay. So we know that there was a crossover of people that voted for Bernie Sanders in 2016 in the primary and then voted for Donald Trump in the general election.
Got it.
We know it. Okay. The data's proven it. Second, my whole political philosophy, and it's different than the predominant one,
that's
is
fine.
Enthusiasm matters. It really does. Fervency matters.
That's why you like Biden as the candidate.
I love it.
Because enthusiasm slightly lacking.
Well, and so Biden is everything the left is saying that they don't want to be. He is the most corrupt vice president in American history. And so I think that what people have been missing over the last 30 years, I talk about this in my book, is that the biggest issue that gets people the most upset and the most disinterested is corruption in government. It really does. And this is why Donald Trump resonated and sprinted across the finish line, saying he's going to drain the swamp, calling out the charlatans, as he called it, on both sides. When he did the mimicking, saying all these people are being controlled like they're little puppets.
Yes.
It was like it was refreshing. It woke people up in a way that another before. Joe Biden, he metaphysically can't say this stuff.
No.
The only argument he has is that I've been around for a while, so let's go back. So, okay. You want to go back to closed steel mills and bad immigration and China appeasement and the Iraq war that you voted for and that you supported? I'll take that debate any day versus someone who can actually, as stunning as this might say, Bernie can say he's been different than the Washington, D.C. status quo. Now, it's Marxist. He's so outside of the mainstream in that I would rather, especially with my target audience and the students I talk to, I would much rather have results, disruption of the Trump presidency versus status quo than Donald Trump versus someone who's willing to say that they're going to forgive all their student loans and give away tuition-free college.
Can I translate that? Can I repackage that?
Please.
Tell me.
And that's not as built out as I would like it to
be. No, but it's fabulous. Yeah. And he did that without any notes, guys. For those who aren't watching on YouTube, he's doing all of this hour with not a piece of paper in front of him. Let me see if I got it right. Let me repackage it slightly differently. They're both members of the swamp. This is, it's a fact.
No,
okay?
Of course.
They're both swamp dwellers. But one of them can at least paint themselves as if they're not a member of the swamp, and that's Bernie.
Yeah,
Bernie can
right.
look different. There's nothing Biden can do to wash off his swampiness, and that's why a Donald Trump, President Trump, vice a swamp creature debate such as
it.
Biden makes more sense. Is that right? Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly right. And by the way, I mean, we're just beginning to speak about the corruption that their family engaged in.
This is Peter Schweitzer. I mean, every member, it's five members of Biden's family, his brother, his son, himself, are fully in the trough of D.C. corruption.
And so here's another kind of provocative thought process. Do you think it's more likely that people that voted for Biden will vote for Bernie in the general, or more likely that people that voted for Bernie will vote for Biden? Who actually has the likelihood of transferring one bucket to the other? I make the argument that the Biden people would be more likely to go vote for Bernie as a general election candidate than the Bernie people would be to go vote for Biden. And look, not since H.W. Bush in 1988 has the safe pick won. And he only won on the coattails of the Reagan
this
Revolution.
This has got to be your next op-ed piece. Hopefully not for Newsweek.
Thank you. Well,
there's only three people that read Newsweek. I understand it's missionary work. We're out of time with this segment. I'm not going to allow you to respond. Maybe next time. Maybe the next segment. But you need to write this up. This last segment, golden, golden, golden. We're talking to Charlie Kirk. Follow him right now. Charlie Kirk, 11 on Twitter. Support Turning Point USA at TPUSA, TPUSA.com. And also, the reason he's here, it's called The MAGA Doctrine. The only ideas that will win the future. Charlie Kirk's new book. Let's get it back up to number one. Number three is a cool number, but one's better, and we're into winning. We are broadcasting from ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, please let me help you. If you're in pain every day, try something that has worked for me. I had a lower back pain issue that had plagued me for almost a decade, for 9 years. Nothing I did helped. Then I took Relief Factor. 2 weeks later, I was pain-free. That's 14 months ago, and I'm still pain-free. That's how good it is. You deserve to find out if it could work for you like it works for me. It's so easy. Order the 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. $19.95. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. You should be the next success story. Go now to ReliefFactor.com. This is America First. Back with Charlie Kirk in a moment.
That we hold these truths to be self-evident. Sounds corny. Not a joke. Think about it. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by you know the thing. You know how we talk about it. Are we the people? Folks.
You know the thing. We the people. That's the man the Democrats want to be their nominee. For presidential candidate. Oh, my gosh, what fun. We have had far too much fun in this hour. It has flown by, but we had a good reason for it. The MAGA Doctrine, the new book by Charlie Kirk. Get it right now. I forgot to finish the wonderful story you started with those who like to criticize our president from a holier-than-thou perch, throwing the first stone. You're in the middle of your story with regards to Samson.
That's okay. I'll finish it as quickly as I can. So the story of Samson, as I mentioned, I can't teach in Sunday school, but he's in Paul's Hall of Faith, as you call St. Paul. But Samson was – God came to him in the bed of a prostitute twice.
Twice.
He famously took a jaw of a donkey and killed 1,000 Philistines. Why do I like this story? Well, because he was willing to fight for what was right when God called him.
Yes.
And why else? It's because the other people, God's chosen people, no one was stepping up and doing it. And so I equate Samson to Donald Trump in a biblical lens, whereas you try to point out, oh, I don't like this, I don't like that, what they've done. As you mentioned, we're all fallen from grace. But even in Paul's Hall of Faith, he pointed to Samson's faithfulness, what Samson did in the Old Testament to protect God's chosen people against the sworn enemy, the Philistines. And we consider that to be honorable. Donald Trump, very similarly, fighting for Christianity and for religious liberty every single day?
Well, my friends, it's very simple. You need to have your very own rhetorical ass's jawbone, and I'm holding it in my hand. It's called the MAGA Doctrine. Charlie Kirk's new book, The Only Ideas That Will Win the Future. I think it's a good new ass's jawbone. Rhetorically, Media Matters, relax. Well, just keep typing. Just keep typing because, you know, I don't have the money for the transcription service, but thank you guys, whoever's funding you. We are having so much fun here. Why? Because this man is making a difference. His team, how many people at Turning Point USA now?
We've got 160 people.
160 people. He started this age 18. Support this organization. It is on the front line where it matters. Why? Because as the left knew, they'd read their Trotsky. They knew their Lenin. They even knew what Hitler said. Give me their children and I will own their future. And the conservative movement let them for the last 50 years. And now it's time to claw back those schools and bring them back to that place that made us the shining city on the hill and to the values of our founding fathers. God bless you, Charlie. Keep doing what you
do. Thank you, Dr. Gorka.
Follow him, CharlieKirk11 on Twitter, TPUSA, TPUSA.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka, back with the warrior princess par excellence, your favorite, Jennifer Horn, and then your calls here on America First. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, don't you dare touch that dial.